Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time for this week's Survivor Picks, brought to you by Own KC. We have to start with an apology from Ryan.
Why is that?
To one Brad Keller.
Yeah, you're not Keller.
I don't owe anybody anything.
Brad Keller took strike number two, and he's out before the baseball postseason is even over.
I'm very disappointed in Brad.
But look, Ryan look, talked look, him out of talked him out of a pick last week, and
the
now
pick that
he's
he wanted to go
strike.
With was he wanted the Broncos over the Steelers.
So he lost either
pretty
way.
Sure
is that what you're saying?
I'm pretty sure.
Is that what
that.
I thought he wanted Minnesota?
Let me look back on the text exchange.
He wanted the. I'm pretty sure you're right. The Broncos. You wanted the Broncos, and you're like,
I don't know.
And then he went with?
Yeah, he wanted Broncos over Steelers.
Right. All right, so you talked him into another loser.
Then he went. No, I didn't talk him into that.
You didn't give him a winner, though.
No.
That's for sure, right?
How many strikes do you have now, Ryan?
You didn't give him a. At the very least, you did not give him a winner.
I gave him two games. I said Bucks over the Dolphins or the Pats over the Texans.
And he took.
Both of those games were winners.
He took Carolina.
Get
out of here.
That is on you, Brad Keller.
No, I'm not blaming Brad. I think you confused him.
So, well, he would have lost if he went with the pick he had anyway.
You don't
so
know that.
So Brad is
I
out.
I do know that for a fact.
Brad is out. I'm sad that Brad is out before baseball season.
I am too.
Concluded.
Can we get him on the show again?
I at least wanted him to get through the, base,
no,
the baseball season.
Likely, call him right now
likely,
and say.
We're likely dead to him.
Say, what in the heck went on? We need to talk to him about his Survivor picks.
So, Brad's out.
You know he'll answer. He loves coming on with us. I'm being sincere, so he may answer. Yeah, I want to rip Ryan.
He did enjoy coming on. He's not going to rip me.
All right, Ryan, you're the only one with a strike, so you get to go first.
He understands that he made that bed, now he has to lie in it.
Probably has nice satin sheets, too, as a big leaguer, right?
Satin sheets aren't all they're cracked up to be. Give me a nice high thread count, Egyptian cotton any day.
It's true. Who's your pick?
I know.
True.
I know you're
you guys know I'm a
Ryan,
sheet snob.
Ryan is a thread
Ryan,
count
no, Ryan
snob.
Is a sheet guy, yeah.
I love that sheet. Let's see here. I know I'm on my
full
last
of,
leg.
Full of it, too.
I know I'm on my last leg.
Okay.
And I know this team's only won one game. But put me down for the Indianapolis Colts against the Texans.
Wow.
The Texans are terrible.
They are.
The Texans are terrible.
They are terrible.
Absolutely terrible. Plus, I feel like the team that everyone's going with this week is probably going to lose. So I'm not going to take that team. And you guys
know what
team it
is. You're playing defense. Oh, you're playing defense.
Yeah.
Give me the Colts. Give me Carson Wentz. They almost beat the Ravens, and then they pooed the bed. But let's not talk about that.
I don't play defense. I just pick my team. I don't look around. I play my scoreboard.
Yeah, Joe and I talked last night for hours on end,
and then he told you what he came up with.
No, we batted around a couple once. He's very convincing, and so we decided to go with the Rams this week. They play the Giants. Saquon Barkley's out. Who knows how Daniel Jones is going to be? I know it's shaping up to be an upset for the Giants, probably, but we'll go with. The Rams.
I too have the Rams, despite some reservations. I don't like the cross-country trip thing. I think that that's real.
And that was kind of holding me back.
The cross-country thing, but They got Glennon and no running back this week, and they're terrible anyway. The Rams are going to... They may scuff a little bit. They're winning this game. So
they may not win 35-10 or but, something like that.
The Rams are winning at the Giants.
The Los Angeles Times has their picks for the week, and they have the Rams winning 35-14. I don't think it's going to be that type of game.
If it's that type of game, that's awesome. That's
probably be a little bit closer.
I'm pretty sure they're getting 10 points right now.
Correct.
Vegas is getting
9.5 is what I'm looking
at. Yeah, I saw 10 or
Colts got 9.5 against the Texans, too, by the way. I don't usually like picking those division games either because that AFC South is they're scrappy.
That's like a
every
game pillow fight
17-13. So,
but if there's ever a game that feels like a Matthew Stafford's gonna lose that game for you, it's against a hapless Giants team.
Yeah, there's the Stafford factor too.
He's gonna be sleepy from that cross country.
Going with the Rams. So Bob and I going with the Rams. Ryan going with the Colts. Those are our survivor picks
this
week.
Carson Wentz, don't make me look bad.
Brought to you by OwnKC. Check all of the picks out at 610sports.com.
He's useless.
You see, we put up 400 yards against the Ravens.
I'm not a Carson Wentz believer. I mean, that guy
did play well in that game. Yeah.
Maybe you should watch that Monday night game. Yeah, he did pretty good.
He did play well.
Okay, he had a game. You know, he's never been consistent. And I don't think he's much of a leader.
Prior to him almost breaking that wasn't the back-breaking moment. That was his knee shred moment. He was on an MVP pace.
And he didn't get there. I'm not a believer
in
Carson
Wentz. Justin Houston's never done anything in Kansas City, according to you.
I'm not a Carson Wentz believer. I just don't think he's a legit quarterback. We'll see. Maybe he proves me wrong. But as of right now, I don't know.
He did play well last week.
Yeah, he had a nice game. Yeah, you know, absolutely. Daniel Jones has had nice games, too.
He should have talked to his coach out of going for two. But whatever. In the interest of everyone trying to help this Chiefs team.
And that's what it is. Everybody's trying to help.
That I don't think anything should be off the table at this point in time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even though I have sounded like the Daniel Sorensen defender, if you took him out of the lineup, I don't care. I'm just saying, I think there's probably a reason he's playing. Okay.
I'm with you.
So if your magic formula that you need to see is Daniel Sorensen needs to be out, fine. That's fine. You can have that on the table. Don't have a problem with it. So there's nothing that should be off the table right now.
I feel like they've had 5 weeks to prove that Sorensen's as good as they think they are. Maybe they should give it, I don't know, a week or two to see if
he's they should probably, they should probably bow to the fans and see what they want.
But we know what the fans want.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At this point in time, you've tried it your way, Chiefs. We should probably bow down
to the noisy
fan who says that Dan Sorensen's garbage.
Well, you know, now that they got the GoFundMe out there to buy him out of his contract, now you have to do that.
But you two are operating as if like the Chiefs like coaches don't have eyeballs. Like, it's crazy. Have you watched the games?
Have you watched practice?
Jeez.
No, you say, oh, geez. They're around these guys every day in practice. They see what's going on out there. I have a very hard time believing, and I would challenge anybody that's listening that works in professional sports right now to call up and say and let us know that they keep better players from not playing because they don't like them or something like that. If they don't like a player, they usually move on from a guy. We're talking about practice, right? And if a guy's not performing in practice, he's sure as hell not going to be out there on the field on Sunday.
Well, he's not performing on Sunday.
Who are we talking about?
Daniel Sorensen.
That doesn't mean anybody has beat him on the depth chart, Ryan. I think that's where the argument is. If no one has beat him on the depth chart, then you can have issues with that they don't have a safety, but I wish Juan Thornhill was beating out Daniel Sorensen. Apparently he is not.
I mean, you guys are putting more credit in what's going on from what Tuesday to Friday than what goes on Sunday.
I'm saying they evaluate Tuesday through Friday. You don't. I don't. The fan does not. We can all see that Sunday has sucked, but I can't go and say, well, you know what? It's just because they're playing the wrong guy. I think that they have an evaluation for their personnel, and I wish he was better than Daniel Sorensen. Apparently, he is not.
I kind of like watching this go on
I'm just saying, apparently he's not. I don't know why we're smarter than coaches and players all the time. Yes, there are things we see like, wow, that guy sucks. Well, okay, if they see it too, I think they would do something about it. And if the guy behind him was better, they'd probably play him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying that I'm looking at this take that we're about to get into, and the start of the take that Bob wrote is the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That's what you're doing with Daniel Sorensen every Sunday.
I don't disagree if they do replace him. I'm just saying that there's probably a reason they haven't replaced him, because the other guy isn't better. Doesn't that make logical sense?
I would certainly like to be able to see that.
And until it's validated before the fans on a Sunday, you don't believe it. So should we just switch to Daniel or to Juan Thornhill, have him go out and suck so that everybody shuts up? I'm not looking for that either, but it's like we're saying, well, if I haven't seen it on a Sunday, well, they must be doing it wrong. No. The other guy hasn't beaten him out.
I know. Look, coaches make mistakes. It happens all the time, right? It does. And I'd like to think, though, that these guys are probably smarter than any of us that are just watching a game on Sunday, including Josh, who's on the sidelines every Sunday on this one, right? I think they're a little bit smarter. They know the personnel a little bit better, and they're coming off back-to-back Super Bowls. I am willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. And if they don't think Juan Thornhill is better than Daniel Sorensen, then I'm going to have to trust what they believe. They're not out there trying to sabotage things. And the other thing is, if we're down to this level of where we're sitting here and we think the failure of this defense is because Daniel Sorensen is playing, we need to move on to something else.
I don't think that's the sole reason.
I don't think this defense gets that much better if you replace Daniel Sorensen. I'm willing to see it. I'm willing to put Juan Thornhill back there. I don't care.
At this point, I just don't see how it could be a possible downgrade. The man is one of the worst regular, everyday starting defenders in the National Football League. How can you honestly say that making a move or an adjustment just to see how it pans out?
I'm not arguing that at all.
Could possibly be an upgrade.
I've said that from the start of the week. I have no problem if they want to go to Juan Thornhill. It doesn't bother me at all. But I don't think that's all of a sudden going to fix the defense when you have a defensive line that's a sieve.
Sure as hell couldn't hurt.
It might not, but I don't understand why we're questioning their depth chart.
Yeah, this is like,
they're the ones that see the players play every day. I would think if Juan Thornhill's better, he'd be playing.
I would hope.
And if he is this week, then he's playing better, and I'm more than willing to see it. I just don't understand how he's the lightning rod for all this.
Yeah, I don't either, because Chris Jones is not playing well. Frank Clark is not playing well. Derek Nottie's not playing well.
The biggest issue is your two defensive linemen aren't playing like stars.
Right. That's the biggest issue.
All the other stuff is side portions.
And if we're not talking about, now sometimes the side dishes are better than the main course, though, Josh.
True. So I love the cheesy corn.
Yeah, cheesy corn.
Oh my gosh.
Beans at Smokehouse.
Sometimes I've had the sides and I'm like, I should just side
so good.
It.
Fried zucchini. Give me a lot of that.
Only.
So once those guys start performing and playing to the level of their contract, then we can start nitpicking everything else. I mean, I'm getting so tired of this conversation of this defense and nobody willing to sit here and just admit that Chris Jones and Frank Clark aren't living up to their contracts and doing what they need
to do.
They're
the problem.
They're the problem on this defense. Chris Jones, you're the problem. Frank Clark, you're the problem. Jaron Reed, you're the problem. Until the defensive line starts showing up to work every day, it doesn't matter what's going on behind them, because those guys are at such a disadvantage. They're giving up 7.1 yards per play, not because Daniel Sorensen is playing. It's because the defensive line is getting blown off the ball, and by the time Daniel Sorensen has a chance to make a tackle, a guy's got a full head of steam, and he's 8 yards down the field.
All right, we still need to get to Bob's crazy theory that if we're willing to try anything, we must be willing to try this next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Fesco's got a real crazy or radical or...
Is it?
However you want to... Yes, it is.
Okay,
yeah, yes,
I'd use the term dumb, but let's go with crazy or radical.
I will admit, on the surface when I came up with this idea.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if this is even possible. Mm-hmm. Then I started doing some research, and I'm like, oh, there's already somebody that's doing this.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't really caught on yet, but yeah.
Not caught on yet, yeah, but yeah. Again, we're all trying to help. We think Daniel Sorensen is the issue, and switching him out, we're going to be a top defense in the NFL, according to Ryan. So if he can have stupid ideas, so can I.
Is that what you're going with? You're just going to put these words in my mouth like
well,
that?
I mean, you do for me all the time, so I might as well do it for you, too.
I must have missed the time I did that.
The definition of insanity, like we said earlier, is doing that same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? We hear that all the time.
It's okay to do it over and over again, right? I mean, as long as you don't expect this.
Oh, if you're expecting
result.
The same result, okay. Sure. Yeah,
it's cool
right.
And it's fine. You can repeat stuff.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
If you're doing it over and over again, you know. But cool. I think the Chiefs are probably expecting a little bit different result from their defense right now. Maybe. I don't know. I could be wrong about that. But right now, relying on this defense to get a stop is, in my opinion, kind of insanity right now. And so I was thinking about, like, what could we do here? What could we do to help this team? Some kind of radical change, some kind of radical idea, because you can't go out and make personnel changes at this point in time. You're not going to go out and trade for 11 new defensive players or anything like that. So how can we help with what we have? Well, Dave Tobe has been on the staff since Andy Reid arrived here to Kansas City, right? He's looked at as one of the best special teams gurus of all time, right? One of the best who ever done it. We hear so many great things about Dave Tobe. Well, if I'm Andy Reid, here's what he should do. Andy should walk into Dave's office and say, listen, our defense sucks. I need you to come up with as many versions of the onside kick as you can. We're no longer kicking deep. I'd rather give the team the ball around the 50-yard line, let them score quick, and also kind of have a shot to recover the kick. Time's yours. And then walk away.
Not give him time to rebut and go, what?
Right, no. Time's
just
yours.
Just walk out of the room?
Just walk out the
just
room.
Walk out of the room so yeah. He's like left with, I guess this is my assignment.
So this okay. This is his new assignment. Okay, and so I started to look at, like, all right, what do we got going on here? If we could implement this, what are the chances? The recovery rate of an onside kick right now in the NFL is at 8%. I like those odds better. The defense getting a stop, right? So give me the 8% that you can recover it right now.
I'm sure somebody could find this, but was it better before the new rules?
It was. It was a 20-something percent.
20-something
percent? Yeah, 22%, I think, is what it was before.
I always felt like it still wasn't that great.
No, I was surprised by that.
That's a big gap.
Yeah, 20-some percent.
So much harder to do it now.
Much harder to do it now. But if you don't recover the onside kick, on average, the opposing team will get the ball at your 47-yard line, which is just 27 yards further down the field. That's one run on this Chiefs defense, right? So as opposed to starting at the 26, you're starting at the plus side of the 47. So 26-yard difference with that onside recovery. 26 yards against this defense is not that hard to come by, right? You can get that pretty easy. So that's what Dave Tobe needs
to
do.
Like, what's it, like one quarterback draw? When you're
yeah, like one Josh Allen run or something like that. You pick up the 27 yards, right?
Okay.
So I started to kind of do some like research on this and to see kind of how it all shapes out, what the what the numbers.
So you're working
to.
With the you're working under the guise of let them score quick.
Yeah,
you're not going to stop them anyway.
Right,
let them score quick so the offense gets the
right.
ball back.
Right, you can tell me that's where my mind is right now. That's okay. Where, that's where okay. my mind is right now. Right. I don't want to hear any kind of like you're stupid or you're wrong. Okay. You don't know. That's where my mind is right now.
I'm asking you for the rationale would be. They're going to score on the defense anyway. You might as well get the ball back quicker.
Do you have any faith that the defense is going to get a stop?
I have more faith than other people do.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have more faith the defense are going to stop than you recover an onside kick.
8% chance to recover an onside kick or the defense gets a stop? I don't know what's higher.
I don't. Well, they're not 92%. Well, they were for a while in the red zone.
Yeah.
No, I don't have the full confidence of the defense. I'd be crazy to have that, but I have confidence they're going
so
to get better.
So more than 8%.
They're going to get better.
You think they
yeah.
could stop more than 8% of the time? Right, yeah, I don't know that yeah. I'm quite there
yes,
with you yet, Josh.
Yes.
You're
going
to have to drive me kicking and screaming.
I'm more than 8%.
Right.
Yeah.
So as I'm doing this research, I find there's like this head coach named Kevin Kelly who coaches at something called Presbyterian College.
It's an FCS.
And I never heard of Presbyterian College until yesterday. I'm like, all right, oh, that's pretty cool. This guy onside kicks every single time, except if they're up 21 or more. This was a guy
that'd
who just...
that'd just be showing off.
Right. At that point in time, you don't want to run up the score,
just
right?
Stupid at that point, yeah.
So this is a guy who did this. He was a head coach at a high school in Arkansas. They won 9 state championships. championships. His record was 216-29-1 doing this onside kick thing every time. I'm just saying.
It's like the Grinnell College of Football.
Exactly,
is that what it is?
Josh, is exactly what it is. Presbyterian is the Grinnell.
Jacking up threes,
right,
all the time.
Jack up threes. I'm just saying right now, you got to think outside the box because you're doing these different things. The same results are happening. Let's try something different.
I don't know how.
That would be awesome.
Your brain
to see,
works sometimes. In the matter of 10 minutes, we could have you're not at practice. You don't know that we couldn't swap out Thornhill for Sorensen. By the way, what we should do is start onside kicking every time.
I never said you can't. I've said I'm fine with them swapping out Thornhill for Sorensen, but I don't think that's going to make a huge. I don't want to bring it back to the same point we just beleaguered for the last half hour. It is what it is with Sorensen and Thornhill. They want to put them in there, fine.
This
I don't care.
Terrifically insane.
Right.
One, we can all acknowledge they would never do it. Okay. They could change out Thornhill for Sorensen, right? They could absolutely do that. They could do that Sunday and be fine with it. They would never ever do this, but the concept is hilarious to me. And I can see how it would totally work in high school.
Sure.
I mean, you're relying on kids to recover an outside kick. I'll take my chances. I'll blast it at the hands guy at the 10 yards away.
Kick it off his face.
See if he can catch it.
But that's what I'm saying. Dave Tobe is the special teams guru. Come up with a bunch of different ones, a bunch of different ways that we've never seen before to do this onside kick.
Correct me if I'm wrong, too. Didn't they put a different rule in place either this season or last season, like where you can take, like you don't get the running start on the onside kick anymore?
Eric Berry, player of the week, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yes, they have different rules on the uns. That's what makes it so hard to recover. You can't get the running start. It's
all
really
I'm saying is the numbers
hard
that you've pulled likely aren't going to be close to what the actual success rate is this year.
Absolutely, that's with the new rule in place. Thanks for listening. We just went over that.
Sorry, I must have been blindsided by the idiocy of this.
What we could do though, but pop it up in the air. You know, run down there, catch it up in the air, 10 yards. You know, do whatever you have to do. Fire it at a lineman.
Get that Michael Burton four phaser out there, wrecking people.
Right. I mean, you got to go out there and you got to try something different, man. Like just try something different right now.
No, I don't like the theory of it at all. So don't get me wrong, but I like the concept of. Less. It's less to me about recovering the onside kick. It's more to me about, well, if they only got to go 47, it'll just be over faster.
Also, another great point from the text line.
We're just putting the Chiefs defense out of their misery much faster.
Yeah,
getting off the field,
and that's the other side of
it. And then
this,
you're just
sure.
giving your ears, even if you're not recovering the kick, they're going to give up a score. Just let them score. Get
score
the ball
quicker.
Back. Just get the ball back.
Don't you think that recovery percentage drops pretty steeply as well when people know you're doing it all the time?
Well, that's why Dave Tobe has to come up with different ways to do it. Different looks, different shows, different tells.
Different spins of the ball.
Different spins of the ball, different directions.
You know, I mean, special teams guys are always looking
for
directions.
What do those guys do in practice anyway?
30 minutes left in the day?
They're always doing extra work.
They stand around, right? They're always looking for something to do. Come up with different ways to do it. Outthink your opponent.
I really like the defense is going to score. So let's let them score faster.
Yeah. So you think they're going to give up less than 8%. They may. They may do better than 8% of the time.
I don't think you're going to recover it a lot, but I don't hate the, well, just get the offense the ball. Let's go. What are we doing here playing defense?
Defense?
Nobody wants to see this defense be playing right now, so let's just take the ball out of their hands faster by giving up 47 yards of offense.
Give them
every
a head
time.
Start, 26 yards. Again, it's like one play right now. It's the defense,
well, no, it's,
right?
It's 47 divided by 7.1.
See, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you may give up a field goal here and there. Maybe you get stopped, but 7.1, you're just saying just give the ball the offense.
So that's three, four plays roughly. Yeah, we can't stop him. Just give him a shorter field.
Answering, there is such thing as a crazy question. There it is. Both teams this week, Chiefs and Washington, are 2-3, but they're going in very different directions. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
So both teams heading into Sunday are 2-3.
What did you look up for this song?
But no, it totally has a mom.
Why bottom?
Yeah. I swear I hope it came up as that, did it? Is this YY Bottom? Did you put in ZZ Top and it came up as YY? Please say it did.
I don't even know how I got to this one, so no, I don't know.
Is the opposite of ZZ Top YY Bottom, or is it AA Bottom?
I think it'd be AA Bottom, actually. Yeah. That makes more sense.
But YY Bottom's better. Funnier. Both teams 2-3 heading into Sunday, but vastly different 2-3.
Washington sounds like they're 0-10.
Yeah, they sound terrible. Been listening to both of our sibling stations in the D.C. area.
Not good.
And there is not a glowing thing to say about this Washington team at all. Chris Russell from the Team 980, check it out in the Odyssey app, joined us earlier in the show today.
Right,
and this Washington defense last year was looked at as kind of an up and coming defense. You got Chase Young, got Montez Sweat. They spent a lot of money on the defensive line. Good young defensive line. They haven't exactly taken that next step.
Well, again, a million problems there. So we'll start, on the front end. I mean, obviously Chase Young got off to a little bit of a slow start, and took a lot of criticism. I think they've invested so heavily in their defensive line, Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Montez Sweat, all first-round picks. They have other guys, too. You know, and those guys, I would say they were inconsistent from the start, right? Some good pressure, but not enough, especially against really good quarterbacks. And you guys know how good Justin Herbert is, and that's who their week one opponent was. And Herbert, three-step drops, quick release, get the ball out of his hands, all of that. And I think others tried to do the same thing, too. And then they struggled against a guy like Josh Allen, who you guys know how good he is, and just saw it live and in living color on Sunday. I was in Buffalo that day. I mean, I don't go to every road game, but I go to, a bunch of them. And it was worse in person than it was probably on TV in that particular spot. But then they struggled against, kind of mediocre quarterbacks in Daniel Jones of the New York Giants, Jameis Winston last week of the New Orleans Saints. So, that defensive line, which was expected to be the bell cow, has been okay. It's been all right. It hadn't been bad. It just hadn't been good enough. And then the linebackers stink. They haven't really gotten anything out of their first-round pick, Jamin Davis, out of the University of Kentucky, number 19 overall. He's made a couple of splash plays, but that's about it. Cole Holcomb's their best linebacker. You guys will probably see him in coverage against Kelsey, and you'll probably see a lot of the back of his uniform. No offense to him, but, that's a really tough matchup for him. And then the secondary has been atrocious. And, again, I know you guys know bad secondary play at times. I got it. But the secondary has been – it was expected to be a lot better. Kendall Fuller, who, of course, won a Super Bowl with you guys, Ken came back, started off really good last year, but has kind of faltered since maybe like a month ago last year, and is really kind of – he's been okay, would be generous this year. He's versatile, as you guys remember, so maybe you might see him a little bit more free safety kind of looks. William Jackson III, who they signed to a huge deal from Cincinnati, has been dreadful, and the safeties have been awful as well.
Woof.
Sounds a lot like what we're talking about, though, with the defensive line. I mean, they paid their defensive line, and they're not producing, and the rest of the defense has kind of gone downhill from there. Listening to him, if you just took out what team he was talking about, you say, wow, is he talking about the Chiefs' defense here? Because you've got guys that they've invested in as well over there in D.C. on that defensive line, and they're not doing the job, just like the defensive line here that's been invested in that's not getting the job done right now.
And they've allowed it to filter back to the rest of the defense, too.
Yeah,
they're really bad down the field, which is good news for the Chiefs because the Chiefs have not been able to, the best teams have taken the top off the defense, as it were, right? Or kept them from getting the deep play down the field, right?
Right.
Washington's been terrible at giving up the deep.
I mean, you think they're going to target Kendall Fuller all game? I would imagine.
I would think.
Yeah, he's not playing well this season.
Yeah, they got another corner who's hurt, and so they're not good in the secondary. That should be good news for the Chiefs.
And as the names jump out, like Chase Young and whatnot, along the defensive line, you'd like to think, oh boy, they're really good up there, but they haven't been playing well. Maybe this is an opportunity for some of the linemen. Talk about the two end guys, your Orlando Brown Juniors and Lucas Niang. Maybe it's an opportunity for them to play a team that has good name players where they're not playing so well at the right time. Sometimes it's not who you play, it's when you play them, right? As we talk about all the time in this league. So maybe they're getting Chase Young at a good time where he's not able to find his way quite yet this year. Maybe the Chiefs can kind of take advantage of him and Lucas Niang, maybe build some confidence over having a nice game against Chase Young. Again, I'm looking for bright spots here, ways to kind of, you know, grasp something that these guys can build off of, because like you mentioned to start the show, they can go out there and play a great defense, but everybody nationally will be saying, well, it's against the Redskins, so it really doesn't matter.
Washington football team.
My bad. My apologies. So you will say that, and everybody publicly will say that, and I get that. But internally, if they can feel like they grew and they got something done and they feel good about themselves, I'm at the point of the season where I don't care what the rest of us think and how they believe. As long as those guys in that locker room are taking positives and trying to grow from those things, that's what we need right now.
I do wonder, though, sometimes, like, are other teams approaching the Chiefs the same way that oftentimes we approach them? Like, do they look at this offensive line? They go, boy, I'll tell you what, we can eat against those rookie guys. Like, maybe this is a Chase Young get right game. Mm-hmm. Like, do they look at that defense and go, boy, I'll tell you what, we haven't been able to move the ball all year, but we're in store for, you know, 30 first downs this week because we're facing the Chiefs and they can't get anybody off the field. Like, I do wonder sometimes if that's the way that the other team looks at it, because we certainly sit here and look back, like, we look back at last week's game against Philly. We're like, well, this is going to be, or not last week, but 2 weeks ago against Philly, this is going to be a get-right game. You don't think Philly's offense looked at that as a way for them to go, boy, I'll tell you what, maybe we can start getting ourselves in a positive state.
Don't you think Jalen Hurts walked out of that game with all kinds of confidence?
100%
he did. Yeah, so I think it does. Yeah, I think people are used. Sure, if you're the Chiefs right now on defense and you're an offense, like Taylor Henneke's probably got to be going, all right, I got some I got an opportunity here to look good. We could sit here
and we can look at that Washington D line and we could say it's underperformed. But I think if you thought about it from last year, and hell, even, you know, Chris, who joined us this morning, talked about it, like, there was optimism going forward and it just hasn't met the expectations that it has. I think that's a pretty familiar sounding thing when we talk about our offensive line here in Kansas City, right? Like, the expectations going into the season were Orlando Brown's not going to let anybody touch Patrick Mahomes, and this is going to be the next coming of the 2003 offensive line. Like, that was the expectation. Mm-hmm. It certainly hasn't gotten anywhere close to that. So while we could sit back and we could say, well, I'll tell you what, Chase Young, you know, he's not really, you know, doing well, and this could be a good time for Lucas Niang to get right.
Oh, they're saying the exact opposite.
They got to be saying the opposite, right?
Right. Absolutely. Totally. I totally agree with that. And they should be saying the exact opposite right now.
I was expecting me going into this game thinking about, you know, having those, like, Chase Young nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and how much of a game wrecker he could be. He hasn't really done that this
year.
Not this year.
Like, I've mentioned it a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. To me, I feel that the air of invincibility has certainly been lifted from the Chiefs. And if teams like the Bills and the Ravens and the Chargers, who have been gunning for you, finally feel that it's been lifted, it certainly has to be, you know, that same feeling has to ring true for the bottom feeders of the NFL, right? Like, they got to look at it and go, boy, those Chiefs, they're not unbeatable anymore, and we're not just chalking this up to a loss.
No. I think teams around the league probably view the Chiefs now for the first time in a while as beatable. There's an opportunity.
They'll house the football team.
Yeah, and that's what we need to see, though. We need to see one of those quote-unquote get-right games. And I think more so for the defense than anybody, because if the defense continues to go out there and they continue to not have this success, at what point of the season do you start pointing fingers, placing blame, and then causing that internal, you know, trouble, if you will, that the Chiefs haven't had to deal with over the last couple of years? You don't want to see that. That's why it's important for this defense to start seeing the successes, so they don't start doubting the coaches. They don't start rolling their eyes. They don't start saying, "Ah, the hell with this. Let's get them next year." You want them to see that success so they stay engaged and they keep battling to get more successful and more successful and more successful. I need them to be successful this week for themselves more than anything
Do it for you. Look in the mirror. Do it for yourself. Andy Reid appeared on Washington radio this week on 106.7 The Fan, and they got to the bottom of stuff, Bob.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy at the New York Giants that keeps telling me that they're going to name a salad after me every time I come out of that tunnel there. But and he still does it even here when I'm in Kansas City. But no salads.
So Andy Reid does not have a salad named after him yet in Philly or Kansas City.
Or anywhere. I mean, you can make an Andy Reid salad. You can put anything on a salad you want, right? You can put some burnt ends and a Philly cheesesteak on there, call it the Andy Reid, since he loves the barbecue and the cheesesteaks.
Sure.
I feel like it'd be some variation of a Cobb salad, right? Cobb salad's loaded with stuff.
Yeah, but like, instead of like ham and turkey, maybe you put like cheesesteak meat and burnt ends.
Very little lettuce.
Thin sliced ribeye. You just replace the lettuce with thinly sliced ribeye.
Ooh, a bowl of thinly sliced ribeye topped with egg and avocado.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's great.
Cheese
love
whiz
that.
On top.
Cheese whiz, cheese is, whiz the dressing.
Is the dressing.
Yeah, I like it. That's good.
And then they.
You could actually call that a carb free cheesesteak.
That's
though, right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's keto
steak
friendly.
Bowl. Yeah, keto friendly cheesesteak bowl.
Then they really got to the bottom of it with Andy Reid.
Hey, Andy, let me ask you this, because you coached the Eagles for so long, and now you're in Kansas City. I mean, those are two famous food cities. Where do you like it better? You like the barbecue or the cheesesteaks?
Yeah, listen, I like both. I mean, the only thing I'm not partial to is liver, and everything else is free game, man. You know, so the barbecue is great. The cheesesteaks are great. I mean, I'm all in on all of them. So, you know, I'm getting older. I got to slow down a little bit here. So,
raise your hand if you've ever eaten liver. You have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Chicken livers? Yeah.
No, no. Like
beef liver? Yeah, liver and onions?
Liver and onions.
100%.
You have. Okay.
100%.
I've never had it. You've had it before?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not like it.
When was the last time you had liver?
When I was a kid and was forced to. Yeah.
See, my grandma passed away in 2013.
Yeah, okay, so it's been
2013.
It's been a long time. So I'm thinking like Andy used that liver comment. Maybe I don't know when the last time he had liver was. I don't know the answer. Maybe he's never had it before. Everybody always uses liver as something they wouldn't eat, right? I beg to differ. I've never had liver. But Jasper now has liver on the menu at Jasper's, right?
Oh, yeah. Prepared correctly. It's delightful.
He says they sell out of it almost every night.
Well, it's something that not a lot of people prepare or even have on a menu. So yeah.
I didn't know like people still livered. I didn't know that was still something that
you think people deliver?
Yeah, they do.
What do they call those sweetbreads? Like those intestines of people?
I don't know about that either.
That's
what does liver taste like? And don't tell me liver or chicken, okay? Like is there? Because what I pictured is like just a bad texture.
Yeah, yeah, the texture is
right.
Weird.
I mean, organ meat is what it tastes like.
Yeah.
Like
right?
Have you ever had tongue?
No,
it's like tongue.
I have eaten a pig's nose before.
Not it's not like snoot.
No. I've eaten a pig's ear.
Not like that either.
No.
So,
what about a gizzard? You ever had a gizzard?
Yeah, I have.
Like a gizzard, but less chewy.
But I've also had Rocky Mountain oysters, and that's what I picture a liver tasting like. And I just despise
the texture's
different. Texture of the Rocky Mountain oyster. I'm like, not doing this again.
Yeah, the flavor's similar, but the texture's different. It's not so
grimy.
Yeah, sinewy, I guess. I don't know what word I'm looking for there.
Sandy? I don't know. Like, it's not for me, but if more power to you, if it is for
Plus,
you.
Plus, I think
I
it's
care.
A mental thing. I mean, you literally have a testicle in
like,
your mouth.
What if they bring the liver out and they tell you it's a filet? Can you hide it and pass it
on? No,
off?
No, okay. You're not going to believe that's a filet.
So I got to the bottom of it with Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Took Washington to really crack that nut. You can check it out on the Odyssey app.
Time for another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Andy, I wanted to ask you this one. So I was kind of looking back at your history with the Washington football team, and it was a few years ago now you traded Donovan McNabb to the Washington football team. And then once you got out to Kansas City, you traded Alex Smith to the Washington football team. So I'm just curious if there's any chance maybe Patrick Mahomes, you're going to trade him to Washington.
Well, that's not happening right now. But you guys would like him. I know that. He's a good guy. But your quarterback there right now is a scrappy player, man. That kid is playing his tail off. So, but we're glad to have Patrick right here.
That's funny.
That was another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Ryan says he did not add any laugh tracks.
I added none, except for that Fizz one right there at the end.
I was like, Fizz appeared on that show, too?
Just Fizz at the end.
Those guys were enjoying themselves.
That was, again, from our sibling station, 106.7 The Fan in D.C. They had the exclusive Andy Reid chat this week.
We got the highlights for you.
And that was
just throwing that out there. No need to go rush over there and download that.
That was it.
Oh, you like cheesesteaks? Man's been gone from Philly for like 8 years now.
That's a very narrow field that you ask Andy Reid questions in.
Well, that's why I asked Brian Mitchell, like, is there another story we don't know?
Not really.
He didn't really offer us one, did he? No.
As a matter of fact, he referenced our interview with him.
Yeah, like a couple
three times. I feel like we gave him some really good content for the show.
Yeah, I think so. I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, how about that? That's really good.
So he'll eat anything but liver. It's not going to determine between cheesesteaks and barbecue.
I like how he like knew that he had to walk that fine line, too.
Well, what he could have said is, cheesesteak used to be my love, but that's in the past now. I've found barbecue.
I mean, he approached it like somebody asked him who his favorite kid was.
Exactly.
Which I've told you, mine's Bruce.
Yeah, you've said that. My middle child. Yeah, you've said that. It's just shocking.
Just saying, you should determine it now so that way there's no awkward pause. You know it already.
And for now, he's not trading Patrick Mahomes to Washington.
For now.
For now.
It's interesting when you look at the cheesesteak versus barbecue. They're both completely different, in my opinion. One's a cheesesteak and one's barbecue. You can like them both.
They're both delicious.
Yeah, they're both great.
And that's the type of analysis you only get right here on this show.
That's right. I like
one's
steak-ums.
A cheesesteak and the other's barbecue.
Yeah.
I mean, they're completely different.
Completely different.
Which I wouldn't. Yeah, I would.
But if I was Andy, I would have said, cheesesteak had my heart, but they broke it. It's barbecue for me, baby.
That would have been good, actually. He should have gone with that.
I don't know if he's maybe
missed opportunity, Andy.
You know, doesn't want to offend the people of Philadelphia. I can get that.
Cheesesteak didn't make me a Hall of Famer. Barbecue did.
Barbecue did. Yeah.
Something like that.
Barbecue won me a Super Bowl.
I mean, really, when you think about it, there's just more variety in barbecue than there is in cheesesteak.
Yeah, there are a ton more.
I don't need variety in a cheesesteak, though.
No, you give me the peppers.
No, I mean, they knocked it out of the park right off the jump, but.
And I love a good smear of ketchup on a cheesesteak, too. Got to have ketchup on that thing.
Did you say ketchup on a cheesesteak?
Oh, God, yes.
God, you've had some bad takes today.
Why?
That one topped it all.
Why?
You don't
just
put ketchup on there?
Just by itself.
So good.
Oh,
I like the ketchup on the
cheese.
Get a
whiz.
Steak them.
That's why you have the cheese whiz.
Steak sauce if you want. Ketchup.
All you need.
You go A1 on there?
No, I've never have. 57? People do whatever they want. I'm sure somebody mayonnaises on cheesesteak.
Oh, I've mayonnaised a cheesesteak.
Oh, and I'm strange for doing ketchup.
I don't have to have it.
Cheese.
That just sounds like, rubbing some mayonnaise on the top.
I need it.
Mayonnaise gets a bad rap, man. Yeah. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Well, that Duke's mayonnaise is becoming ever popular now. People are eating that by the spoonful.
That's just
not
disgusting.
Spoonful,
the tub. Yeah, but you can't just, like, I guess you could stick your hand in there and just eat it.
We should have more things come in a tub.
We do tacos with powdered cheese up in the Northland. They come in a tub.
That's right. Good. If you missed any of the show today, check it out, 610sports.com or via the Odyssey app. Cody and Gold, come your way next. You're on 610 Sports Radio.
We're done.
I gotta go. Bye.
You guys take care.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
Hey, thanks, Jets.
Oh, man, I gotta go.
I'm out.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, gentlemen. Talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.